Let us pray. God, as we continue to reflect upon prayer, may ours be like that of your Son. May we keep it short. May we keep it honest. May we keep it going. Amen. Please be seated. Good afternoon. I had the privilege of being a part of our diocesan convention this past couple of days, Friday and Saturday. And along with our parish delegates like Paul and Harry McDaniel and Dennis Paul and Father Bill Hamilton was there, as well as Lisa Allerton, who represents from our parish our deanery. It is always a wonderful thing because sometimes we feel like we're an island, and it is so wonderful when we gather with 82 other parishes and missions of the diocese around the bishop and celebrate together the fact that we are all in this together, that we belong to a denomination that is welcoming all people into God's kingdom, and we celebrate that together. But this particular convention was especially happy one for me because I ended my 3-year term on the standing committee of the diocese. And one of the last duties you have as the president of the standing committee is at the convention, when the bishop is going to give his big speech, you do the introduction. And you don't just say, "Here's Bishop." It's usually a flowery speech that is given sort of to bring him up. And so I had worked and had thought about doing something clever and inventive for this whole occasion. But in the midst of all that, I also had to do several other things. I am the head of the World Mission Commission right now, so we had that presentation to get together. We had an exhibit in the hall for the McGregor's ministry as well that we had to make sure that was all taken care of. And in between all that, making sure that everybody from our parish had rides down to the convention and the hotel rooms were taken care of and so forth. Well, in the midst of all that, I finally get down to Miami, and I'm so happy that it's just all come together. We got it all. And then I realize I left the bishop's introductory speech at home. Well, luckily I had my laptop. It's on my laptop. And thanks to the man who mans the front desk at the Hampton Inn, he was able to somehow download it from my computer and print it on his printer. Have you ever had that happen in your life when there's something that is the most important thing you got to take care of, but because of all the other stuff that you're doing, you forget that one thing that you really needed to concentrate on? I can remember many times being in such a hurry because we got to get somewhere and we throw everything we think we need into the car and we get out there and I remember I forgot my car keys. Not going to go very far. I can remember one time when my wife was making cookies in the midst of doing everything that she does. She had gone to the grocery store and she came home and she realized she forgot to buy the sugar. Not going to be very good cookies, are they? What I'm going to do today, I had a David Letterman top 10 list for problem prayer. But because of all of the important announcements we had before the service, I pared it down to 5. Well, the first of those 5 is what I just talked about. And it goes like this. If you are forgetting what's most important, you need to slow down. Those foolish virgins forgot to bring their oil. How stupid could you be when you're going to wait at night in that day and age? How silly can it be for me, the main focus and the function that I had, and I forget to bring the silly speech with me? I think in terms of our prayer life, the gift that God gives to us very often is when things like this happen, because it's God's way of telling us, you better slow down. You better stop the merry-go-round for a little bit and focus on your life of meditation and prayer a little bit, because by the fact that you are forgetting what's most important, it's a clue that you're going too fast. Point number one, don't be like the foolish virgins. When you find yourself forgetting important stuff, it's time to slow down. Point number two. Dependence on foreign oil doesn't work. I know we're not supposed to be political here, but it's a little political statement. The foolish virgins found that out very clearly, didn't they? Remember how last week we talked about the importance and the comparison of our human relationships, so too with God. We can't depend on somebody else's relationship with God for our own. I know there's that story where the friends lower the paralyzed man through the roof and Jesus heals the paralyzed man because of the faith of the friends. That's a fantastic story. But remember, it's not saying that that made a difference in the relationship between that man and Jesus. We hope it did. But the important thing is we can't rely on others. That we can't have foreign oil. We can't have somebody else's prayer life, the one that keeps us where we're supposed to be. It needs to be our own. Point number three. Some things cannot be put off to the last moment. The foolish virgins found that out. I can't tell you how many times in my ministry a married couple will come to me after they've been having problems for months, maybe years, and just before the divorce papers are signed, they figure, well, let's go to church, maybe God can fix this thing. It's a little late. I can't tell you how many times when the phone rings and I or one of the other ministers of our church gets called to a hospital, to the scene of an accident, to some tragic situation, and when you go in there, the person who survives, who has not had any connection in a life of faith, just falls completely to pieces and they can never pick it up because they have no hope. How can we expect that we are going to have strength in the time when we most need it if we aren't building up that strength as time goes on? It is so important for us. I know that we talk about deathbed conversions, and because of the incredible grace and mercy of our God, I'm sure that God can do that. God can do anything. But I think those deathbed conversions are more the exception rather than the rule. It is important for us with our regularity so that when the difficult time comes, we're not waiting to the last minute. We're ready. The title of Yancey's chapter this week is Problem Prayer. Oftentimes the problem with our prayer is the fact that we only pray about our problems. We wait until we get ourselves in a mess and then, okay, God, fix it. Yet when we are consistent and we have that relationship, when the problem comes, we will have the strength and we will know that God is going to see us through it. Don't wait till the last minute. Point number four. If we are not prepared, we miss some incredible opportunities. I think this is the most important point. I think it's the most important point in this whole prayer series. You know, we're not told by the church or by Scripture or by God that you need to go to church on the Sabbath, you need to read the Bible, you need to do your study, you need to do this, that, and the other thing. God doesn't tell us that because He wants to keep us busy and He wants to punish us. God tells us those things because he doesn't want us to miss any of God's blessings. The whole point is that we want to be attuned so that when the blessings are there, we can perceive them and we can enjoy them. How many times have I had somebody who's had a conversion of some sort come to me, whether it's through a Curcio weekend or retreat or just something happened in their life and God touched their heart? And they end up saying something like this: I never realized how active God was in my life. He was already there, but now I perceive it. And that's the whole point. The more we are in relationship with God, the more we will perceive the ways in which God is bringing blessings into our lives. Incredible opportunities not to be missed. And then point number five, the hardest of the five. Sometimes we are better off waiting for God in the dark. If those foolish virgins had just stayed their ground, even without the oil, they would have experienced the bridegroom's arrival. When we get in the dark, when we get in the valley, when we experience those losses, those difficult times in our lives, what we usually want to do is either ignore it, deny it, or fill ourselves up with so much other activities that maybe we hope it'll go away. But it doesn't work that way. Because when we do that, we're like those five foolish virgins who ran off to their local 7-Eleven trying to find some oil, and they end up missing the arrival of the bridegroom. It is when we are in that valley, and when we stick with our prayer and our connection to a community and to God, it is through that darkness that the light comes. The problem is we just don't want to see through the process because it's hard. In Yancey's book this week, he gives the great example of this person named Johnny, a young athlete lady. And at a very young age, she dove into some water. It wasn't deep enough. Paralyzed for life. Throughout her years, she came to an understanding. And she came to a relationship with a God that to this day, incredibly, she is able to say, the best thing that ever happened to me was that day when I jumped into that water. Why? Not because she was paralyzed as a result, but because as a result of seeing through that process, she was able to see the blessings in her own life and able to share those blessings with those around her, and continues to do so to this day on the international stage as well. Sometimes you just have to wait in the dark for the light to come. I want to end today with an illustration that was in one of the sermon helpers that I usually read because I think it sort of pulls it all together. It's a story of a man and a woman who came to a church and the pastor asked them to tell their story of conversion, coming to Jesus, so to speak. And they were an illiterate couple, they couldn't read, and they told the story, the man did, and the woman of, the man went to the Salvation Army for some reason and had this incredible experience there. And he just loved it, and he couldn't wait to tell his wife about it, and he wanted to go back next week. But he said, but you know, all those Salvation Army people were wearing red sweaters, and I don't have a red sweater. Well, the wife said, well, honey, I'll make you one. So she did. He goes back the next week, very excited to be part of their community again. And she expects that he's going to come back all excited, but he comes home dejected. To which she says, what's the matter? He says, well, all of their red sweaters had yellow lettering on it, and I don't have any yellow lettering on my sweater. Well, she says, well, I can fix that, but what did it say? And of course, he can't read, so he doesn't know. So she goes down to the Salvation Army and just looks in the windows thinking, well, I'll just pick out some letters. And she sees this one group of letters and figures, well, that'll fit on the sweater. So she comes home, she has written it down, and she puts it on in yellow thread on his red sweater. He's all excited. He goes back to the Salvation Army the next week. He's very excited, and he's even more excited because all the attention is turned to him. Because everybody is reading his sweater on which the words read, under new management. Now, the amazing thing is that not what had transpired in that man's life? He was under new management. God had acted in his life in such a way that everything was changed. That maybe he was still waiting in the dark a bit for the light to come. But he had gotten to the point where his problem prayer wasn't just praying about his problems, that all of these points that we looked at on the screen were starting to come through in his life. May it be so for us. Let's take that to prayer.